This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The founder of this company 10 years ago was trying to sell his house and went through real estate agent after real estate agent, and they were all talking a great game. And this guy who is selling his house, the founder of this company, he's, you know, he's kind of an important guy and kind of, you know, should get the best treatment. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is their word is their bond, and they are just like you. Now, how can I say that? Because I'm the founder of the company. We have 1,000 agents across the country, and they are people that listen to this show. And so when you go through Real Estate Agents I Trust, it's sent to somebody who already, you already know their sensibilities. They already are cut from exactly the same cloth. There's got to be a better way. There is. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Would you look at Margie? She looks amazing.
Yes, she sure does.
I wonder how she stays so fit. What's her secret?
Well, she told me that food stamp benefits help her eat right, and she stays active, too.
Oh, I didn't know they helped people our age.
Oh, food stamps help lots of people. People you know.
Wait, you use it, too?
Yes, I do.
You have to wonder if this is what Lyndon Baines Johnson had in mind when he signed the Food Stamp Act into law. Did he envision a nation that would advertise for its people? A nation that would recruit citizens to join the welfare rolls? As we pointed out in the first episode, America's founding fathers believed that there should be a temporary safety net for citizens who were struggling but willing to work, and that help should be extended to those who were not capable of supporting themselves. But they also believed that people should be made uncomfortable in their poverty as an incentive to climb out of their circumstances. Since then, the government has removed all discomfort. There can be no doubt that our founders and Ben Franklin would not sanction this.
The Agriculture Department produced a series of Spanish language radio spots. The USDA made them available to any radio station that wanted to play them.
El Departamento de Agricultura de los
The United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, and its Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, are proud to present the radio miniseries Happiness Park. Enjoy the show while you savor a delicious piece of fresh fruit. Let's begin.
Happiness Park is like any other soap opera. That is, one whose characters are obsessed with food stamps. Each of the 10 spots makes a separate point. Episode 1 tries to bust the myth that food stamps are welfare and only the unemployed can qualify.
Roberto and I just can't seem to make ends meet.
Meet Monica.
Siempre que peleamos es por el dinero.
It's not that we don't love each other, but we're always fighting over money.
She's talking to her friend, Claudia.
Did Roberto find a job?
Not yet, and that worries me, because with what I earn as a babysitter is just not enough.
Apply for SNAP.
SNAP? But isn't it this, like, welfare?
No, SNAP is a supplemental nutrition assistance program that helps you afford healthy food during difficult times. Just do it.
In episode 2, Monica indeed does it. By episode 3, she tries to convince a friend, Ramon, to sign up.
I don't think I qualify. I own my house, and I live with my daughter and grandson.
You might. SNAP is a program to help people. If you don't apply, you'll never know.
The United States has gone from a society that believed in personal and family responsibility but offered a safety net for those who fell, on a temporary basis, if that person was willing to work for the help that they received, to a nation that encourages and advertises in multiple languages for people to put themselves on governmental welfare programs. As a result, the United States has gone from 26 million people on food stamps in 2007 to more than 47 million today. The cost of the program has gone from $33 billion to $77 billion. And despite the spin, the food stamp program is not a nutrition program. The program has become so flawed that the Wall Street Journal reported millionaires are now legally entitled to collect food stamps as long as they have little or no monthly income. 35 states have abolished asset tests for most food stamp recipients. These and similar paperwork reduction reforms advocated by the USDA are turning the food stamp program into a magnet for abuses and absurdities. Furthermore, according to the journal, the Obama administration is far more enthusiastic about boosting food stamp enrollment than about preventing fraud. And there is fraud. A lot of it. But that might not be the most disturbing aspect.
This is what surprised me the most when looking at American poverty. I expected poor people to be on food stamps, the homeless, the drug addicted, the perpetual scammer, but not people who had jobs, not my fellow suburbanites. First off, you got to give it to Walmart for capitalizing on the busybodies in government and the voting booths. 80% of their workers are currently on some type of government assistance, mostly food stamps and Medicaid. Walmart's low prices are basically subsidized by taxpayers. While this might get you upset at Walmart, remember, Walmart profiting from government aid is just a symptom of the disease. The source to this problem comes from our society, one that believes we can steal the wealth from one group of citizens and redistribute it to another group.
How much benefits did you receive from the food stamp program?
$750 a month.
And what did you typically buy?
Well, to be honest, I would splurge, and I would buy filet mignon and steaks, and so easy to apply, I took advantage.
And you told me before we got on camera that you had a special surgery done while you're on food stamps.
I had a breast augmentation for about $9,000.
Wow. And you were able to purchase that while you were getting assistance from the government?
Yes, I was.
Did you ever buy any illegal substances, such as drugs or anything, while you were on food stamps?
I'm an occasional weed smoker, so I would buy some weed, not too much, but occasional.
Could you have made it without food stamps? Would anyone in your household have starved if you didn't have it?
No, I could have made it.
The woman interviewed for this documentary was making $70,000 a year while on food stamps. Chances are pretty good that, yes, she would have made it without food stamps. Many would say that the war on poverty was well-intentioned and would point to what LBJ said when he first announced the effort.
God will not favor everything that we do. It is rather our duty to divine his will. But I cannot help believing that he truly understands and that he really favors the undertaking that we begin here tonight.
Did God favor this undertaking? A Soviet-style, massive government effort resulting in fraud and corruption. Does he favor what has happened to the American family in the 50-plus years since, or to the now bloated American government? The question LBJ asked early on is worth asking again.
The Great Society asked not how much, but how good.
So how good has the war on poverty been for American families? In 1960, just 9% of children lived in a single-parent home. By 1980, there were more than 6.2 million families headed by a single woman, making up 19.4% of all families with children. By 1990, that number had risen to 84 million families, or 24.2% of the total. Today, that number, sadly, is at 34%. Blacks have been hit especially hard. At the beginning of World War II, the illegitimate birth rate among black Americans was slightly less than 19%. In 1965, near the start of the Great Society, the rate of unwed births for blacks was 25%. Beginning in the late 1960s, the trend rapidly accelerated, reaching 49% in 1975 and 65% in 1989. Today, it is 72%. Nearly three-quarters of all black families are now single parent. Fewer than half, just 46% of U.S. children younger than 18 of all races are living in a home with two married heterosexual parents in their first marriage. This is a marked change from 1960, when 73% of children fit this description. Back in the early 90s, the University of Washington showed that an increase of roughly $200 a month in welfare benefits per family correlated with a 150% increase in the illegitimate birth rate among teens. So again, would God favor the disintegration of the American family unit by design? Any believer, or even non-believer, would have to say no. And we are enjoying all of these benefits for just over $1 trillion a year, not including Social Security and Medicare. There is one important caveat to all of this. Poverty in America is, as a rule, very different from poverty elsewhere in the world. According to the government's own surveys, 80% of poor households have air conditioning. Nearly two-thirds have cable or satellite television. Half have a personal computer. 40% of America's poor have a widescreen HD television. Three-quarters own a car or a truck, and nearly a third have two or more vehicles. 96% of poor parents state that their children have never been hungry at any time during the last year because they could not afford food. And 82% of all poor adults reported that they, too, were never hungry at any time in the prior year. Still, if we're searching for, as LBJ mentioned, God's favor, maybe we would be better off with a more hands-on approach from individuals and less from the governmental agencies.
Glenn Beck.
The founder of this company, 10 years ago, was trying to sell his house and went through real estate agent after real estate agent, and they were all talking a great game. And this guy who is selling his house, the founder of this company, he's kind of an important guy and kind of, you know, should get the best treatment. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is their word is their bond. And they are just like you. Now, how can I say that? Because I'm the founder of the company. We have 1,000 agents across the country, and they are people that listen to this show. And so when you go through Real Estate Agents I Trust, it's sent to somebody who already, you already know their sensibilities. They already are cut from exactly the same cloth. There's got to be a better way. There is. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.